You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Sex, murder, the magic of the movies. You must remember this is a podcast about the secret and forgotten histories of 20th century Hollywood. Follow and listen to You Must Remember This on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Yeah, you're in the loop here on Sports Radio 610. All the parts that you know. John Lopez, I'm Reginald Atula, Figgy Fig, here in front of me now. It's always good
to
see you.
Yeah.
I love, people are always like, how do y'all make it across the city?
Like it's that. Like Star Trek, we beam here.
I don't actually know if I'd be comfortable with that technology. Like if they came out.
Oh, I would do it in a heartbeat. Who, you kidding?
Oh, you want to be the guinea pig? That's
yeah.
A lot. You taking the first transport.
The option is 610 West.
713-572-4610. You have to be the guinea pig on the teleportation machine, mm-hmm. or you have to go on 610 West. Which one do you select? Let me know what you think within.
Figgy?
I don't know about being the guinea pig, but I would be interested in it though.
Yeah.
I'm just not being the first person to try it.
All right, what number person to try it would make you feel comfortable to do that rather than going on the West
Lake? I would say, no, honestly, it ain't even the amount of people. I would probably say give it like a year.
Okay.
Once they kind of get it going, and then they might make some adjustments, and mm-hmm. then I come out of nowhere like, all right, I'll give it a shot.
I'll try that.
Yeah, I'm very much realized that in the bell curve of like adapting to new technologies, I'm not an early adapter.
It's funny. I feel like Reggie would be the technology guy, but you're really not.
You're just
skeptical about a lot of stuff.
I like playing with all that stuff.
That's a real Ayo moment, which again reminds me of appreciation Henry Toto.
I play with it all the time.
All right, dog. That one was intentional. Appreciation to Henry Toto sitting down with us. Because there was one of those moments that he called out audibly, and I appreciate him for doing that. All right, let's continue talking about this Houston Texans team because there's a guy that we have not talked a lot about. We've talked a lot about a few rookies, also good vibes, thoughts, and prayers, and all those things towards Keontae Hamilton, the 7th-round rookie defensive tackle who was carted off from the field today. We did mention as he was carting off, he gave kind of the patented thumbs up to the crowd. But in case you did not, hear or see what happened with that, he was carted off the field, and D'Amico Ryans did confirm that it was Keontae, so I did want to make sure that that was clear here. But Jaden Higgins is the first, rookie that you drafted, the one that you, signed to a guaranteed contract as a second rounder that I know Nick Caserio won't call it this way, but that set off a little bit of a chain reaction before training camp got going. We haven't talked much about him, but it's very clear, I think, that he is going to be a guy that slides in as the counterpart for Nico Collins mm-hmm. in that first group. What have you seen from Jaden Higgins thus far?
Well, he's built close to what Nico Collins is, but what I've seen is he's more of a he's not as physical, and I don't mean that in a bad way. I think he knows how to use his body, to be drafted where he is and where he is in the depth chart, et cetera, at least the one that we keep in our mind's eye. But he kind of looks to me like a finesse receiver that has really, really good hands. And there's a place for him on this team if he can just do that.
Yeah, I think so. The thing about it, though, and I do feel good about this for him, I do think the defense, I was talking with Randy McAvoy about mm-hmm. this last week, or I think it was Saturday's practice. Mm-hmm. We were chatting a little bit. And I do think the defense is understanding that, all right, he's good, but he's a rookie. They're still going to key in on Nico Collins entirely, and they're mm-hmm. going to make the other guys in this offense defeat them or challenge them to then at that point force any defense to then account for them. I think that will open Jaden Higgins for opportunity. Mm-hmm. I think he's going to have to show up. And right now, it still feels like the rapport with him and CJ, it has a way to go.
Yeah.
Ways to go. I saw at least one pass that was a deep shot that they just quite didn't connect, and it wasn't that, oh, somebody missed. It was just CJ was expecting him on a mm-hmm. go route to maybe kind of once that ball goes up on the outside shoulder towards it, between the shoulder and the sideline, for him to kind of curl out that way, he didn't get his eyes on the ball over his shoulder early enough. And those are things that will be worked out over time. But it does feel like there's still ways to go on that. Plus, and maybe this defense is just going to make it tough, because somebody did ask, like, what are the chances that you're just dealing with a generational defense? It's non-zero, but it's something that you're just going to have to find a way to deal with, because you're going to face good defenses.
Yeah.
That also matters for Higgins. You're going to face good cornerbacks. And I do think that we've seen him go up and get his hands on the football. We've also seen him get the ball dislodged as he's trying to come down. And I think for a guy of that size and stature, I understand that there's going to be some leeway. I'm going to give him some grace, but I think finding the way to come down in some of those circumstances will matter, especially if you can be a jump ball
threat. I think he can contort his body in good ways. I think he has good hands. You're right. There's been a couple of instances where the defense has done defense things and knocked the ball free or jumped, you know, as he's catching it, swipe the ball, all that stuff. But with regard to, you know, some of the adjustments that are being made and that he's going to have to make, C.J. Stroud is going to have to make some of those adjustments too, because he's not the only one that C.J. has maybe – you know, expected something and threw something else. So I think it's just altogether kind of a work in progress. But I'm glad you brought it up, because, you know, we're talking about Jalen Knoll. He looks to have had some really good moments. You know, we're talking about Christian Kirk has had some moments. Obviously, Nico today as well. But Jaden Higgins has very much looked the part, and he looks like he's going to slide right in.
Yeah, I'm very intrigued to see what it continues to be for him. This was him talking today after practice about what it's like going up against this secondary in particular.
No matter who you go against, you know it's going to be a good matchup. You got to be real decisive with your movements. And then when the ball comes to you, you got to make a play on the ball no matter what. It's going to be competitive rep. So really just go out there with the mindset that you got to win.
I mean, that's absolutely a mindset that he has to take. I think I'll ask you if you saw it this way, and I'm very intrigued to see what this also continues to be for, like, Clint, who's out there and having a different viewing experience than we are as we're on air, how successful he's been at that just yet. But he was also asked, how does it help you going against this secondary?
You know, whenever you have good DBs, good secondary, of course you feel like if you can make plays against your own team, you can make plays when it's game time. So I feel like it's going to only boost our confidence as a whole unit and, you know, help the DBs get better as well.
And that's the good part, you know, about this defense playing so well. And D'Amico referenced that, you heard that earlier. If you didn't, you can go back on the Odyssey app and hear everything D'Amico said. But no, it's absolutely true. You just want to see more of that. And it's not just Jaden Higgins. You want to be able to see them have some success offensively against this defense.
No, 100%. I mean, just as in general, that is something that matters. And you know what? He was also asked about that. Higgins, very quick, very succinct. I think also, I will mention, as I was listening to, you know, his answers, I was like, I thought he would be more long-winded, for lack of a better term, like, you know, more verbose or whatever. But it also understandable. Like, he's still early on to this. I think that he will open up more. But I believe this was, and of course I lose it as I'm looking for it. Oh, this is cut 10, right? So this is Jaden Higgins talking about the offensive perspective after the defense has a better day for him, because you're talking about they're going to need to string some of these together. He's going to be one of those guys that has to have that happen, but he's also coming from a rookie's perspective. Yeah. This was his thoughts.
Really, for the offense perspective, we're really just trying to come out here and be clean. You know, that's that win in our book. You know, when you're clean, you can make plays down the field. You can be explosive. So as long as we're having our alignment, assignment, and, you know, being clean with that, then that's a win in our book.
Yeah, and as far as, like, you know, his candor, you know, behind the podium or whatever, he's a rookie, you know.
I'm not saying that he's holding back. I think he's being, like, he's the candor, the word that you there. I think he has candor. I think also
he's just
like,
trying to be, like, what,
being quick with it.
Say it the right way. You know, I don't want to screw up here. And by the way, we had an example of that. You know, Henry To'o, his rookie year, he was good, but he wasn't what he was today. You know, I think, you know, just as you kind of develop and get comfortable in the league, he does. With regard to, you know, just the things that he's seeing, the things that he's doing. Again, I can't emphasize this enough. I'm glad you brought it up. He's one of those guys you almost have assumed since the day he got drafted. Oh, yeah, he'll be in there. No, he's playing like he should be in there. Absolutely.
Yeah, to some degree. Now I want to see at what level. Because, again, he's not just playing like he should be a part of a rotation. He needs to play like he is a number two. And I know, I say number two. Christian Kirk, I think, will exist in that role largely, more largely. I think that then you have to lean on the tight ends. Cade Stover, who has supposedly taken a big leap, and I think we've seen some of that very much so in practice. Dalton Schultz, obviously, is just always going to have that expectation being here with the Texans. So, I mean, maybe you can view him as maybe like a fourth option after Nico and Christian Kirk and whatever tight end happens to be in. But I think also, still, you're going to be out there on the outside or moving around in that space. I think I'm excited to see how he continues to develop. But you're right. The ball skills are there. The raw materials that we saw that led to him being drafted, very clearly, you know, selling the bill of or delivering on the bill of goods that was sold. I'm intrigued to see how it continues to come along, because early on, you've seen some of that, but you've also seen him like be a rookie and how much it's almost unfair to him. But because of the space that you're going to put him in, he kind of can't afford to be.
That's exactly what I was going to say. By the way, as much as we're like giving him grace, as you talked about, we can't really be in the business too much of giving too much grace here with the wide receiver room being so crucial to this offense.
Talking about the wide receiver room, just going further. So how are you seeing the wide receiver room and the wide receiver battle as we've talked about? We talked a little bit earlier about Braxton Berrios and his clear return prowess. We're really kind of paring this down. And I don't know that we're ready to start building 53-man rosters, but if you were starting to think towards that, it feels like he might have a spot. Like, how are you looking at this wide receiver?
Well, let's talk about the room. How many do you think they're going to keep wide receivers? Six?
I could easily see six. And then I also wonder, was it last year that they had seven?
In the course of the season, because they had
with Sims as well Sims on the back end that they did not consider as a wide receiver.
Yeah, and we're going to dig into this more, but let's just sort of lay it out, because I was talking earlier, and this is a definite other factor. Braxton Berrios seems to be integral in punt return. And returns in general and special teams in general. So I think Braxton Berrios has definitely some sort of edge today, day seven. You know, things can change. So you got Nico, Jaden Higgins, Christian Kirk, Jalen Noel, Braxton Berrios. There's five, man. There's five right there. So that leaves Mechie, Hutchinson, you know, who else? You know, so it's going to get interesting in that room.
Have you seen anything from Mechie and Hutchinson in like this week? Because I know early on last week, especially without the pads, I was doing my thing, doing
you were crushing
the Mechie. The Mechie, I guess crush is the word that you would use, so I'll follow suit in that. But, I mean, not Higgins. Hutchinson, he's been involved pretty heavily.
And special teams.
How do you read that?
I think Hutchinson has a slight advantage because he's got a few more pelts on the wall and he plays a little more special teams. So, you know, it's going to get interesting with John Mechie and Hutchinson and some of these others.
Justin Watson, who's just he is as prescribed or as described. He's just the dude who he seemingly just does what is expected of a bit of a major league as an NFL wide receiver. He's just running his routes as he's supposed to. When it's a catchable ball he's supposed to catch, he catches it.
That
is exactly what's expected of him. And I know that they value highly just having a guy who does what he's supposed to do in those moments. All right. Day off, well-earned day off tomorrow. You could start to see the way that the wear was happening. Hell, Henry, when he sat down in the chair with us, was like, man, it felt like we played a full game out there today. It was a longer practice, and you could kind of see it get chippy as well with all of the pads of 3 days in a row of pads. So, another fun day of practice. They'll get a day off and back at it on Friday, where we're going to have some real fun conversations in the loop as well. But you're in the loop here on Sports Radio 610. Baseball is on right now at Daikin Park, a rubber match that's happening between the Astros and the Nationals, where looks like Jose Altuve getting a base knock himself early on in that game. We'll keep you abreast of what's happening there, and we'll continue to watch as we are just over 26 hours towards trade deadline. That's going to be a very, very interesting space to continue to keep our eyes. But right now, in loop, coming up next, we turn things over to Figgy Fig from Figgy's Mixtape. What you got for us, man?
Yeah, so I got to give the fellas out there a heads up, the single fellas. If you talking to a woman and she going back and forth from Dubai, leave her ASAP.
What?
And I will explain why. Plus, I got some words for Slim Thug, man. He said something that really bothered me, and I'm going to talk to him like a man.
Oh, a man-to-man conversation man to man. Coming. All right, listen up for that. Now.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Sex, murder, the magic of the movies. You must remember this is a podcast about the secret and forgotten histories of 20th century Hollywood. Follow and listen to You Must Remember This on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Next. Yes, it is the mixtape in the loop, Sports Radio 610. It's your man Figgy Fig holding it down on a Wednesday. Happy Wednesday to everyone out there. Fellas, if you're talking to a chick, and she keep going back and forth to Dubai. And she get, she
the
got
the city in the Middle East?
Yes.
Beautiful
she,
city.
Yes. If she going by herself, mm-hmm. and she got all this money and these fly cars and bags and all that stuff.
Yeah.
Leave her immediately.
Leave her.
Wow. Yes. What, she can't be a world traveler? Are you hating?
Nah, she going back and forth to Dubai. Listen.
All right.
If she going back and forth, you have to leave her. This is why. So it's a rapper by the name of Janaski.
Mm-hmm.
I never heard of her. Didn't want to listen to her music. Maybe
gymnastics?
I'll check it out.
Who, what?
Yeah, Janaski. So
J-E-N-N-A-S-K-E.
Check her music out on your own time.
Yeah.
Is there any chance that it's pronounced Janaski?
Nah.
Janaski?
Yeah, nah. I made sure. And shout out to Nessa from Hot 97.
Mm-hmm.
She was on with her.
Gotcha.
Yep. And did a little interview. And she gave Nessa the rundown on these girls going to Dubai.
Okay.
Girl, do you want me to tell you them Dubai stories? What? So I had like a stripper friend. She would always go to Dubai. And when she come back to, I always love her going to Dubai. Because when she come back from Dubai, she buying me hair. She getting my nails done. We going out to eat. I never knew, girl, they getting pissed on in Dubai. Right? So I'm like, I said, let me come to Dubai with you. She was like, I gotta be honest with you. She was like, I get on and picked on for like 20, 30K by different men. And different men do it like at one time.
No.
And then she would say it would be like a row of them and it would be all of them doing it. It was like, she explained it to me and that's why she would be on private jets.
All right. So I'm just gonna ask the question as delicately as I can. Those bleeps, that ain't what I think it is, is it?
So
you talking about bathroom stuff?
Yes. Yeah. So that, she go over there what? To be a restroom. Right.
Mm-hmm. And other things.
Probably other things, but
other things.
Yeah, who gives a damn if you over there being a restroom?
Okay, so, you know, as I process this, and I hear you on this. If your girl goes back and forth to Dubai.
Yeah. And by the way, I've been hearing these stories for years.
What circles are you running in?
That's just some of the stories,
no,
man.
Some of these
women that's living these these type of lives.
Yeah,
they go over there to make a whole bunch of money, and mm-hmm. you don't know why. And then it's stuff like this.
Okay, so if you get these kinds of signs, you know, sure. If your girl goes over to Dubai and she's a hooker. That's different because that's what's going on.
But see, I said if she going back and forth to Dubai, and she rolling real nice.
Mm-hmm. Well, that would be a sign.
I think that's a red flag.
I feel
like my T's stand right.
So what was this? What was that? Mike Rowe who did the dirty jobs? Like, hey, get him on the case because that is definitely a dirty job.
Mm-hmm.
Who are these people? Not the
I've
people
always
that fly,
wondered that.
Who are these people that are like?
You know what I want to do?
I've got this particular proclivity.
Yeah.
And not only do I want to do this
particular who?
Proclivity. not only do I want to do this, I got to export or import it.
Yeah.
Because, like, they are spending a lot of money in order to make this happen, which I guess, to be fair, if you want some weird, I imagine that it's going to cost you. But, like, they got to export it, huh? Or they got to import it in order mm-hmm. for that? There's no one already in Dubai that'll do that? Like, I'm sorry. The curiosity is beating me out here where I have to. I'm asking all the questions that I definitely don't want answers to.
I was going to say you saying it ain't nobody in Dubai. Maybe it's people there that wouldn't do that for any amount of money.
Well,
which is kind of normal in my book.
I want to go back to Reggie's first point. The whole concept to me is beyond bizarre. You know, whether
that's just not your get down. But it's not the thing that gets you to that place.
Who are the people whose get down that is? That's what gets me, whether it's number one or number two.
Well, I don't think they out in the open.
Well, here's the thing, and that's the problem.
I don't think they bragging about it.
I was going to be like, I mean, we could say things, but also you might know some folks that just would never admit it to you.
Among us?
It is possible that they walk among us, and I don't know how I feel about that. Like, and
I don't either.
Genuinely, yeah. I don't know. I'm not doing the I don't know in a way of I'm trying to be nice and not say. I genuinely don't know how I feel about that.
I know how I feel.
You can like what you like, but also.
It's weird.
Yeah.
It was one situation where Young Miami, a rapper, the City Girls, mm-hmm. she was doing her podcast or show, and she did admit that she liked. I guess, I don't want to say, but she liked number one.
People like
what people like. And
so that I thought that was bizarre.
It is.
Here's the thing also.
You thought that because it is.
Yeah.
I've never gotten that.
Like, I think it's way more normal than what you guys think.
Consenting adults are entitled to their own things and their own spaces. I think the really weird part is just, I would like to not know about it.
Yes.
That's the biggest thing. Yes. Like, I would...
And then all of a sudden you start talking about it to your friends. What?
See, as much as some people like will use the phrase like, you know, keep your stuff in the bedroom or whatever, mm-hmm. As a response to other things, I think this is where it's very much appropriate. Like, again, like what you like, I'm trying to be the least judgmental possible mm-hmm. Version of myself as possible. I would personally just not like to know.
Yes.
I'm doing the bad thing of thinking of the visual. Like, does she wear a mask?
Ooh, yeah, that feels like that would be.
Yeah, I'm wondering, do the guys, are they taking any, like, diarrhea type?
All right, see, you went too far.
Like,
You went way too far.
All right,
way too far.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
You must remember this is a podcast about the secret and forgotten histories of 20th century Hollywood. Listen to You Must Remember This on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
All right, I'll move on from that. It's in the loop. Sports Radio 610, Figgy Fig holding it down on the mixtape. Man, I got a beef with Slim Thug.
Well, be careful.
Houston's on.
Yeah. So Slim Thug was catching some heat on the internet. I want to say it was something about Megan Thee Stallion. So, little backstory: Megan Thee Stallion. She is talking to Klay Thompson, formerly known as one of the Splash Brothers. He's in Dallas right now, and she get to him a $300,000 watch. I want to say it was called an AP watch. I don't know anything about.
Oh yeah, I'm familiar with the AP. I don't remember how to pronounce the name, but it is a very, very expensive timepiece. You don't call them watches at that point; they timepiece.
Yeah. So she paid $300,000 for this
Audemars Piguet. Audemars Piguet watch.
Okay, yeah, just call it AP.
Yeah, uh-huh.
Got that new AP.
I'm too poor to be saying that whole name.
Yeah. So this is what Slim Thug. He actually had a reaction. To Megan Thee Stallion gifting him this.
That's expensive. Did you see the watch? She bought that $300. Man, what kind of gift you got to buy back if she give you a $300,000 watch? I can't have no woman, little boy in me. You know what I'm saying? Like, I'm representing boss energy. I cannot have a woman buying me a $300,000 watch expecting me to buy her, that magnitude right back. Hey, baby, I know where I'm supposed to be. And that ain't it. I'm King Joffy Jopy, man. That's the only thing I'm going to accept. Nobody doing that of that statue. You know what I'm saying? That's not what I'm looking for. You feel me? I know what I need. I'm acts of service is my love language.
So I got a beef with this, man.
Go ahead. ISO!
I do not like how he's making this a big deal about this brother getting a really, really nice gift.
Mm-hmm.
We gotta make this normal for us.
Yeah.
Like, there's nothing wrong with the fellas getting an expensive gift. And I always hated that notion, man. It's always the notion that the guys got to buy all the expensive stuff, but we get acts of service, or we just get some, we get them as the gift and all this other stuff. It's nothing wrong. It's nothing wrong with getting an expensive gift from your lady, hey, man. Lopez.
Huh?
You want to have a real quick sidebar?
Yeah, man. What is it?
Is Figgy venting about his wife in a roundabout way right
oh,
now?
Oh, maybe. She nah, got you something expensive?
No.
Where he's wanting something expensive?
No, she look out for me.
Yeah.
But it's always the stereotype of, a woman can't get you that. He just mentioned little boying. Yeah. He ain't about the little boy me.
Come on, man.
We got to make this normal.
I'm actually with you. Who's to say that she wants something in return or expects something
Return? Or it's not a competition.
Maybe she just loves her some Klay Thompson and said, I want to get you this. And that's that.
Yeah.
I thought we were past this.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. We can't be out here. This ain't a competition.
Mm-hmm.
So since she got him a $300,000 watch,
he can get her one. Write her a nice poem.
You know what's funny? Write her a nice poem.
And by the way,
Jan is a saint. Yeah. But
by the way,
a new truck. I wrote her a poem.
By the way, he's getting a lot of heat from this.
He should.
Yeah. And it's not even that part ain't even my beef. Mm-hmm. I'm just like, damn, the fellas deserve some nice stuff too.
Yeah,
and I agree with that. Like I think that this can kind of harken back to like the outdated notion of, oh man, women can't out earn you or whatever. And I think that's all.
We're past that too.
I think we're past that in the way this is that you're talking about. But I didn't think that I would have this thought process on a story like this, which is, I don't entirely hear what he's saying, but I kind of hear it to this point. I feel like I've heard kind of like guy relationships at this point boil down to like gift giving. We passing the same $20 back and forth. Like in human relationships, we are kind of inherently thinking about like the ledger of, all right, how expensive of a gift do I have to give you when you give me a gift? Not even necessarily that it is required, but just as a level of reciprocity and showing you that I also. So I do kind of understand the thought of that, but I don't like the ways in which he is.
No, I disagree. Just real quick, Figgy. I think that's like an office thing or a neighbor's thing. Like, hey, my neighbor, you know, clearly they spent like $80 on this, so we can't spend $20. You know, but if it's your guy or your girl, who cares?
Yeah,
you know?
Yeah. If he wanted that watch and she wanted something clearly cheaper,
yeah,
like it's not wrong. He ain't got to, you know, beat the price that she got him.
Yeah,
I agree. Otherwise, that's a bad sign, man. That's a bad sign.
Yeah.
Someone says they've been dating for less than a year. Trust me, she gonna expect something similar in return. And here's the beautiful part about all this: he got it.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Yeah.
He got it.
Yeah, he might be cool. It might motivate him a little bit. You're like, all right, I'm gonna rent out the whole. What's the name of the where they play Dallas? What's the name of that?
The American Airlines Center.
Yeah, he might say, "Hey, I'm gonna rent this whole thing out and make it all about you. I'm gonna do all." He might try to outdo it.
You know what's honestly happening here?
What?
And I say this with as much respect as I can muster for an OG in the city, Slim Thug hating. Like that's all this boiled down to.
Oh yeah.
And you know what? To be fair, I am too, because I also very much appreciate Megan Thee Stallion. And her body of work and her body. And so, like, with that being the case, I get it. You hating. But we could just say that.
Yeah.
I think we could be honest.
Yeah. And I think he also, I couldn't put it, play it all in this clip, but he did say he had no issues with all the women. He had to make it clear.
He's got some issues. He's got some issues.
Yeah, $300,000 watch. The AP watch. All right, it's the mixtape in the loop, Sports Radio 610. So I want to give a special shout out to Glorilla. Speaking of female rappers and speaking of Slim Thug, who actually owns a Checkers out here somewhere.
Wait, we got Checkers out here?
Yeah.
Yeah, not a big fan, but that's cool for him.
I'm actually a huge fan. I love some rallies. We had a whole. We used to call them rallies in Cleveland.
Yeah. That's Midwest he couldn't wash out.
Yeah,
I can't get down with Checkers yet, but. Yeah, salute to Glorilla. So, for those who don't know, before she made it big as a rapper, she used to work at Checkers.
Mm-hmm.
And right now, she actually have her own meal at Checkers right now. And here is the little commercial for it.
Checkers and Rally's $4 unbeatable meal deal is getting glowed up.
Glorilla! Yeah, I rocked the drive-thru back in the day. Let's glow! Guess I still do.
Get Glow's barbecue jacked burger with fries, drink, and dessert. Just $4.
watch me cook.
Build your meal deal with our quarter-pound crushing cheese double, spicy chicken, or Glo's new barbecue Jack burger. Only at Checkers and Rallies.
This is different.
What was that so last much. Part?
This is different. I love the way the Glo talks. That is so aggressively
this
Memphis.
Is different.
Can I be honest, though? You know what the part is that jumped out to me? It wasn't the accent. It wasn't the meal itself. What kind of meat is in there for $4?
Well,
in the year of our Lord 2025.
Hey, you asking that at a fast food spot?
No.
Did I mention I'm not a big fan of Checkers?
Hey, fast food spots will run you $15. Yeah. As a grown man, if you want to get full, you spend $15 to $20.
Yeah.
$4? $4.
$4.
Wait, what do it come? Is it a whole meal?
Yeah.
Checkers and Rallies, $4 unbeatable meal deal is getting glowed.
Okay. I guess it's a full meal.
Yeah. Yeah. Not a big fan.
Maybe it's a small meal.
Maybe that's the reason why. Maybe you answered the question for me. I do love this, though. That's got to be, I bet you that's one of her prouder things. I used to work at Checkers, man.
Yeah.
Or Rallies.
So I wanted to ask y'all, at a place y'all used to work, what is something that could be named after y'all to kind of put out on display? So the first thing I thought about, I used to work at KFC.
Yeah.
So I was trying to think. I would probably bring back them honey barbecue wings.
Yeah.
And maybe
the
call
figgy
them,
wings?
Yeah, maybe call them the figgy wings. Starbucks, the other place I used to work, Starbucks. Probably make some type of figgy drink, refresher drink or something like that.
I got mine. Mine was like that. I used to work at a drive-thru, kind of like a Sonic. It was a small, it had like two stores. When I was growing up, it was called the Black Cow. And a Black Cow is a root beer float. But they also had the Purple Cow, which was grape soda with vanilla ice cream. Dude, I must have had 1,000 of those. Like, give me the Purple Cow, the John Lopez Purple Cow, 100%. Now I'm
the OG Purple Cow.
OG Purple Cow. Now, good. Now I'm craving one.
I'll try that for sure.
Yeah.
I used to work at a taco shop in college, and one of the things I did is I always made sure to make a shrimp quesadilla, and I'll added all the additional fixings and stuff, so it'd probably be like a shrimp quesadilla of some sorts that really was really good.
I'm gonna go home and buy a grape soda and vanilla ice cream.
Gonna make it yourself. Is that place still open?
I think it is. It's really been there forever. There's been like two of them. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
They have all kinds of hamburgers and stuff, but their signature is the floats.
Okay.
Which floats? We need more places that sell floats. Floats are delicious. With the vanilla ice or whatever ice cream.
I'm not a float guy.
Oh, really?
Yeah, man. I'm not a float guy. I don't like root beer.
Yeah. Try the grape. Dude, with vanilla ice cream.
Know. Yeah, I don't know about that one.
That's another thing we can add to the list of things we want to do.
That we will never, we'll never actually get around to. There you go. That's Figgy's Mixtape, 1:20 p.m. every weekday right here on Sports Radio 610 at the Figgy Fig on social media. If you see something mixtape worthy, might shout you out. All right, coming up next, we'll get ready to hand things over to the fellas of the drive, Clint and Ron. But let's wrap up yet another day of practice at training camp next. Yeah, been another good day. Just in general, but of course, Texans training camp here in 2025. Another defensive win. In fact, C.J. Gardner-Johnson, I think, established what for Lopez was the mantra on the day defensively, which was what?
And that was, oh yeah, what was it called? It was the...
I knew he wouldn't remember.
No, I'm trying to remember.
I don't know this.
He was
telling Henry, oh, I say it all the time.
Oh, no, I thought you were talking about the t-shirt thing.
Oh, no.
I thought, what did the t-shirt say?
Collective belief.
Collective belief. I thought that's what you were talking about. Nah, man. What was it? Belt to ass.
There it is. It only took him about 45 seconds.
We got to give them a shirt to say belt to ass.
Belt to ass.
You're going
to
get in trouble.
Y'all act like I never heard it before. I just thought it was the perfect way to describe it.
I still don't believe you. The way that you demonstrated right there.
Yeah.
I don't believe that you said it. You've said it before.
And by the way, shout out to our listeners. Sent me a link. ilovepurplecow.com. There's a place that sells.
Oh, boy. I was like, brother.
The purple milkshake.
Sent me a link, and I love Purple Cow, and I was like, I
thought you
talk
about that link about Dubai.
Yeah, no, man, they're all over in Arkansas. There's six of them. I'm gonna have to take a little road trip next time. Go with Clint.
There you go.
Yeah,
there you go. Next time that he's putting the Arkansas Sports Hall of Fame.
Yeah.
Anyways, like I said, another good day of practice. Bill Barnwell, ESPN, put out a piece that I thought was kind of interesting in evaluating like the value of players, and I don't think the Texans are anywhere near trying to make any of these moves. In fact, to be fair, I don't think that any of these teams that are in here or would be necessarily immediately or very soon looking to move any of these types of guys, because in football, unless there's like an issue that arises, people don't move on and trade away their best guys.
Mm-hmm.
But Bill Barnwell put together a kind of a tier list when it comes to each team's best players,
mm-hmm,
and how many first round picks they'd be worth.
Oh,
yeah, okay. And I found it to be very interesting. So I kind of wanted to put you guys up to the test here and see which of the Houston Texans you believe would be in these various tiers. You think you're game for this?
Yeah, man.
All right. If you would like to, you can also give your thoughts on these guys in camp just to make it more, mm-hmm, more training camp wise, which, by the way, quick pause here. Astros at 4-1 right now on the Nationals.
Oh, it was 1-1 a second ago.
Altuve sent one to the Crawford boxes.
I turned my head.
You love to see it.
Yeah.
All right. Three first round picks and more.
CJ Stroud.
Correct. Is there anyone else that you think would fall in this?
No.
You're also correct in that space.
How about that?
I mean, clearly.
Makes sense.
It would require that in order to give up a quarterback of his caliber.
Mm-hmm.
We were talking about the top 100. And I feel very confident that he will be in this top 100. I think we've reached, 50, 54? In fact, you know what? I didn't give you your top 100.
You didn't.
So you know what? I have to remedy that.
Mm-hmm.
I will do that here shortly. But, I mean, with him being, clearly, he's going to be a top 100 player. He might even be a top 50 player. It would require that level for a quarterback of his caliber. Even as we're still seeing the development, we're still seeing to what degree,
mm-hmm,
and what the altitude or the entire altitude of his ability is.
Yeah.
Clearly, he was going to have to take a number of draft picks in order to get him.
Right, right.
But today at camp, it feels like, are you okay with him? I know that we were talking about the possibility of him being hurt as was kind of hypothesized by Clint. I don't know how much I feel that, but you did mention, you know, he's a little short-armed at least one of those passes out there.
Yeah, a couple were off target. One was short. I just don't know if it's an injury, because it could be a possibility, but I just think there are other things that are in play. Learning the offense, coming along slowly, maybe taking it easy because he did have that whatever it was with his did they decide it was his shoulder?
What
with CJ out there during minicamp?
I don't even remember
whatever it was.
Got
so there could be any number of things.
I forgot all of this when I saw him back out there throwing football. I was like, ooh, all right, let's throw this football.
Yeah,
two first round picks and more.
I'm going to say,
are there any Texans in this range?
Will Anderson.
I'm going to say Derek Stingley.
One of you is correct.
Yeah,
which you do you believe it is?
I think I am correct.
I'm going to say I'm correct.
As often is, Figgy is correct.
Hey!
Will Anderson Jr. is the guy. Ranked third in pass rusher.
Pass rusher, man.
Yeah, exactly. Like,
yeah, but cornerback? Shut down cornerback?
Pass rusher's pricey, man.
So is a shutdown cornerback.
Not in the same way. We got the actual numbers this offseason when we talk about the guys at the top of this.
Yeah.
And pass rushers have dominated it. Will Anderson Jr.,
mm-hmm,
it would take two first-round picks and more to get him. Again, mm-hmm, he feels like that you would never even see that because of how foundational he is, not just as a player, but as a personality. Mm-hmm. He's the leader of the defense, and he has been since he got here. And you know what's fun is that D'Amico is talking about him getting better.
Yeah, yeah. And that's something that we're all looking forward to seeing.
You feel like D'Amico actually called the dogs off of Will today?
No, God, no. They were just completely dominating them, start to finish.
Yeah, but Will calling the dogs off still looks like dominant.
Well, that's
that,
true,
right?
Too.
All right.
Yeah.
We mentioned two first-round picks and more. How about just two first-round picks in this space?
It's got to be Stingley here.
Okay. You are correct on Stingley.
Mm-hmm.
There's also one other player.
There is?
That would get you.
Danielle Hunter.
Nope.
No? Mm-hmm. Nico.
Nico Collins.
Yeah,
Nico Collins and Derek Stingley. You'd need two first-round picks by the estimation of Bill Barnwell to get off of.
Yeah, makes sense.
Like, I mean, again, Nico's got to get his love this year,
mm-hmm,
just in a general sense. I know that there's been spaces and pockets that have appreciated Nico Collins. He needs to be appreciated as
up with those other ones that are always mentioned.
Yes, like we need to start talking about him in the ways that
Chase and Jefferson and all that.
At least close to it.
Yeah,
at least close to it. Like it needs to be clear. And then all right, so there's one more tier. Obviously, we talked about two first round picks. How about a singular first round pick to get this player off the team?
Whew. A first round pick. Ah, you got me on this one. I'm gonna just kind of take a stab in the dark and say
there
that's got to be Danielle Hunter.
Okay.
Yeah.
Figgy, do you want to take a guess?
I'm gonna say, I'm gonna say Danielle Hunter too.
Apparently not Danielle Hunter. I don't know if you could kind of sense a theme. There's also a youth element that comes in here.
Kamari?
Okay. Kamari Lassiter.
Yeah, I was going to say
first round pick. Man,
I was going to say Kamari.
And I think also some of this is when you have a guy that's young, it's easy for a team, especially with the control that they have in their contract, to also still view them as, it's like having a first round pick that you know is going to deliver. And Kamari Lassiter is going to deliver. What are your expectations for Kamari this year? Because we've talked a lot about Kalen Bullock and the ways in which it's clear that he's taken another step. What have you seen from Kamari? Because, I mean, we were talking about that on that big play that Kalen Bullock ultimately got an interception on. Kamari was staying with Nico as much as I think anybody usually does stay with
him. Right. No, I think the secondary, we've talked about that, but the cornerbacks are going to be, Kamari's going to get a lot of attention because the book is written on Derek Stingley. I think he's going to be outstanding. I think the big breakout star is the one you just mentioned. That at least from what we're seeing so far, and that's Kalen Bullock.
Yeah. So I found that to be interesting. And also no Danielle Hunter, but of course, deservedly a Pro Bowler this year, 31 mileage.
Yeah. I think contract. The age you talked about, I think that what was in play right there.
But I mean, I think it highlights, and I think there's another way that it also highlights this. Cause I think ESPN does their, top players under 25. And of course the Texans are very, very well represented. As evidence there, it just highlights just how well this foundation is built for the Texans team. And, that's what they're leaping off of here into the 2025 season. From the 713 on the text line, David Johnson for Nico, who says no?
I have a feeling Bill O'Brien texting in on the text line. 713-572-4610.
How you been, Bill? How you been?
Another good day at practice. Of course, thoughts and prayers are with Keontae Hamilton, who was carted off. During team work, and so he gave a thumbs up to the crowd. He went, I don't think we've had any follow-up there. But other than that, another defensive day. Offensive line, I think we're starting to watch it. They will have a day off, and then we get back to another day of practice with pads on Friday, which I think offensive line, I'm going to be dialed in a little bit more, even more so than I have been.
What if, we mentioned this last week, so I'm not going to pose the question, but just kind of say, I don't think we know a whole lot more about the offensive line than from minicamp, but I think we have the names that are going to be involved at the top of the depth chart. But we don't know how much more, how really good they're going to be by any stretch.
Yeah, well, we'll continue to look at that as we go.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Sex, murder, the magic of the movies. You must remember this is a podcast about the secret and forgotten histories of 20th century Hollywood. Follow and listen to You Must Remember This on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.